Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. One of the best parts of my job is when I get to bring you something new, something interesting, and maybe something unlike anything you've heard before. Our last segment today is that. The song you're hearing right now is called The Seventh Day. It's the second track on a new album from Mehmet Ali Sanlıkal. The album is called An Elegant Ritual, and it comes out tomorrow. Sanlıkal is a Grammy-nominated musician, composer, faculty member at New England Conservatory, and he prides himself on bringing a unique perspective at the intersection of his life experience and his musical training to everything he does musically. This new album is no exception. At its core, it's a jazz trio, but with traditional Turkish elements blended throughout. It's unlike any jazz album, really, you've ever heard. We caught up with Mehmet earlier this week, and I started by asking him how it felt to put together a trio album compared to the larger ensemble projects he's typically known for.
I've been playing with my trio and several other small group setups at least for two decades, if not more. It's just that people know me more as a composer, and in fact, a composer active in not just jazz, but in concert music. And other people know me as just a traditional Turkish music performer. But basically, due to a lot of large ensemble or orchestral music or even choral music commitments as a composer, this kind of small band music that I've been working on has kind of been left out, for a long time. And I guess the pandemic gave me an opportunity, you know, with proper social distancing and being smart about all kinds of rules and regulations, we were actually record this trio album, and the result was wonderful. It's just such a pleasure to be able to get back to this music and finally release it.
And this is acoustic bass, piano, and drums, is that right?
Well, the core is the very typical jazz piano trio, meaning it is acoustic bass, piano, and drums. However, because of my compositional wishes and endeavors, you know, I ended up, of course, looking to incorporate innovative ideas. And so the innovative ideas that I brought in also ended up bringing in some musical instruments on top. Now, I did want to maintain the very spirit of jazz trio that has to be live. The interaction has to be on the spot. And so, you know, in order to maintain that, even though I brought in, for example, my ney, the Turkish reed flute, and we have incorporated a lot of nipple gongs like the ones found in Indonesia, everything was played live in this album. So sometimes people will hear me play the piano and the ney at the same time. Well, believe it or not, that's not overdubbed. I actually played them together somehow.
So, okay, you're a professional musician. I have no way of knowing if that's like, meh, not a big deal, or holy cow, you played the ney and the keyboard at the same time live. This wasn't mixed. I mean, is that a truly remarkable thing to do?
Well, okay, you know, asking me that question, you know, I shouldn't be answering, I suppose. Yeah. But okay, you know, allow me, you know, to just this one time to say that, yes, it is difficult. And it took me, you know, many years to get to that point. And what's more important is, of course, I could have gone and hired, you know, some other player. But let me explain as to why I did not do that. You see, it's not often that you can find musicians who are equally comfortable in multiple musical traditions. Meaning, you know, it's not going to be easy to find a Turkish ney player who has both the traditional Turkish music language internalized as well as, you know, jazz internalized. That's very rare. Now, I happen to be in that position because of my history, you know, and that is, you know, my life's history. I came to this country in 1993 to Boston to study jazz. And I had no prior training in Turkish music. I grew up as a classical pianist who discovered jazz, you know, in his teens. And then I came here. And then 7 years after my arrival in the United States is when I rediscovered my roots and dedicated at least about a decade of very strict and disciplined Turkish music and Turkish and related music studies. And so, you know, after all of that is, you know, when I finally returned back to my compositions and or composition career, and then this more, you know, reconstructed identity started emerging. So it's kind of a necessity. It's not because I'm trying to show off in any way. It's a necessity. It's because I can play them, you know, in a way that I can speak these languages together on these instruments.
And that is the project on this album, is it not?
Whether it's a large ensemble or album or a trio album, you know, that is my project. That is who I am. That's my voice. That's my contribution. And so, you know, I very much endorse the idea of bimusicality, meaning being bilingual in music, you know, or let's say multimusicality, being multimusical, just like being able to speak multiple languages, you know, with equal fluency. That's not easy, right? Same thing with music.
Let's play with that a little bit. I don't know if journey is the right word or if continuum is the right word, but it feels like across this album, you introduce us into this flow of relationship from jazz into more traditional Turkish music. You have one traditional jazz sort of standard called Invitation. That piece feels more in the pocket for what I expect from, you know, a jazz and a jazz trio. It's a standard, but there are hundreds of standards. So I wonder why that one? What did it allow you to do? Or I mean, you could have picked anything. Why did you pick Invitation?
It's a piece that is harmonically more adventurous, but I was looking for a jazz standard to include in this album in its, you know, to honor the tradition of the jazz piano trio more properly. We are playing it in a very kind of open manner. That being said, the underlying rhythmic structure is a kind of beat that is found in Greece and Turkey, kind of in nine beats. But again, it's that one is hidden, you know, unlike, you know, the title track, An Elegant Ritual, where, you know, the Turkish influence is unmistakable. This one is kind of subtle and more, I guess, for specifically for musicians to pick out.
So now you've played a traditional jazz standard. Traditional, let's throw that word out. You've played a jazz standard. You've played with that jazz standard. Now we move ahead, and you've got a song like Hazret. So Hazret, really in one song, takes us on a journey from a more traditional Turkish style into jazz, and this time vocals. So starting with more traditional Turkish style vocals, and then we get towards scatting towards the end. So first, just so, I don't know, satisfying, that song and that journey and the connection that you make. And I wondered as I was listening, was the metamorphosis something that you worked to create, or did it seem very obvious to you and you were just showing us? Do you understand my question?
Yes, I do. So It started happening gradually over the past, I'm going to say, maybe 10 years. I started slowly hearing, you know, how I can start transitioning in and out of these different musical languages. I kind of started discovering it. And I think it's different. The way I'm doing it is different than just having, again, two musicians next to each other, you know, who can speak two different languages. But it's music, and one way or the other, you can make it work. You know, if both musicians know how to improvise, they'll find a way to improvise together. That doesn't mean that the musical languages they speak are going to start meshing together. And, you know, a regular audience member may not necessarily be equipped to follow that. In my case, I slowly started discovering that I'm actually able to kind of mash in and out, just kind of like a translator, you know? I'm able to translate between, I recognize patterns, I recognize the best way to translate a certain jazz phrase into the Turkish idiom or vice versa. You know how it is with book translations. They're the most difficult things to do. But you get to do it until after you internalize these languages, you know, and you internalize the vernacular, etc. Same thing with music. It takes many years. But as I started feeling that I'm able to do this in a natural, in an internalized fashion, then I started experimenting with it on stage and finally got to this point where, you know, I've been recording on my, you know, past maybe three albums, examples of this. Hasret certainly happens to exemplify myself, you know, showing how I can transition from the traditional Turkish music language to a far more experimental jazz, you know, scat language in a kind of smooth manner using my voice, which has always been a natural extension of my musicianship.
You spent a decade really diving into your Turkish roots, and I wonder, are you influenced by what's happening in Turkey today? Are you watching? I think it's fair to say that there's been some political upheaval. Are you paying attention to that, engaging with it? And is what's happening there affecting or influencing your music today, or maybe this album?
Turkey has always, you know, been subject to tension just because of its geography. It goes all the way back to Homer. I mean, you know, he talks about Troy. He still talks about East and West. Now, we reinterpret East and West over and over again. But Turkey has always been geographically right there in the center of that tension. And the tension is similar to the kind of tensions we have in the United States, actually. Tension, it is difficult to address and difficult to face and difficult to come to terms with. It also gives people reason to create, innovate. And we see this, as we see very much in the history of the United States, and of course with jazz. My journey is my journey. I came to, again, rediscover my own roots, and I came to redefine myself as a multi-musical musician. I think this is now becoming more and more necessary for the 21st century because of the challenges of globalism. It just becomes more and more important for us to become aware. Bimusicality or multimusicality is very important for that awareness.
Do you know what you want your musical legacy to be?
On this album, at the very opening of An Elegant Ritual, you know, the title track, there's a sound that has never been heard before in music history. You hear the very low end of the Ney flute in unison with the very high end of the harmonics on the acoustic bass. You know, I somehow came up with that, and it works. What I'm trying to say is, I'm not necessarily the smartest person that I know, It's not the smarts, but I have this God-given talent, this gift of finding these innovative sounds. And I just want the jazz world, the greater music world, to know of these contributions before I die. It's that simple. It's that simple.
Well, I hope that we'll get lots more of those contributions from you in the future. That's Mehmet Ali Sanlıkol, a Grammy-nominated musician, composer, faculty member at New England Conservatory. His new album is called An Elegant Ritual, and it's out tomorrow. Mehmet, thank you for joining us, for talking about your music and sharing your music with us today.
It was my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for Radio Boston's Week in Review.